Hello, everyone, and welcome to our newest podcast on Prep Advisor. I'm pleased to be here with Ellen Lollis. Ellen is one of the world's leading MBA consultants. And of course, I'm Maria. I forgot to say that I'm representing Prep Advisor here. So Ellen is the founder and CEO of Ellen Lollis Consulting. You can see the link to it in the description of this podcast, and of course contact her if you have any questions or need help with your MBA application. Ellen and her team have 99% success rate getting professionals like you placed in the world's most competitive MBA programs. Hello, Ellen, and nice to meet you again. Do you want to add something to my presentation?
Oh, as always, you give me such a great introduction. Thank you so much for having me. I think that pretty much sums it up. We are a consulting firm that really focuses on staying small, on really giving individual attention to all of our clients. That's a decision that we made a while ago so that all of our clients really have strong individual attention for their profile, can get all of the help they need with all of the very difficult strategic decisions that they need to make, like the one we're going to be talking about today. So it's a pleasure to be here. I love being here. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you for being here. We also love to have you. So today we'll talk about how to pick the right schools for you. And my first question is a very general one, and it is, what is actually the right school?
That's a hard question to start with.
The hardest.
Yeah. I think if I had to kind of broadly define the right school, and we can go into some of those more factors in deep detail, but if I had to define the right school, I think it's one that fits your key goals. I don't think that there's going to be a school that is perfect for you, or there might be just one school that's perfect for you, but I think it's going to be the school that checks off the majority of the things that you're looking for. And that could be, things like career development. For example, one of the top search terms on our website when it comes to MBA is the best MBAs for sustainability or for ESG. So if that's something that's really important to you, the right school is going to have either a major or an extensive list of courses that allow you to explore the topic of sustainability in business. The less than ideal school is not going to have anything or have a very limited curriculum. If it's like, sustainability would be cool, but it's not a priority, then maybe that doesn't matter as much. There's a lot of other criteria as well, but I would say that the right school or the right schools are going to check off the majority of those criteria that you have.
All right. And in Prep Advisor, we are part of Advent Group, and we have our project called Unimai. And on Unimai, we have some tools about finding the right school. One of the tools is called the culture of fit, because we think that the culture is very important for people. Like, to find the right school is very means to find also the school that has the right culture that fits to you. Do you agree with that?
100%. I think that the culture of the school is really important to the extent that I say, once you get in, if you haven't had the chance, please go visit, because the school can look perfect on paper, but not be. I had a client years ago who, she is an engineer. She grew up dreaming of MIT. MIT is the pinnacle of success in my field. It's the best school. MIT is the best school for me. She got into MIT. She got into Wharton. And I said, please go visit just to make sure. And she got to MIT and she said, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just not right. I don't feel at home here. I don't feel like it clicks. And I got to Wharton and it just felt perfect. It just felt like I belonged. Everything was right. So I'm going to go to Wharton, even though if you had asked me 6 months ago, I would have told you you're crazy. And on paper, this decision doesn't make any sense because I've dreamed about MIT and it should be the perfect fit for me. And so I really feel like that cultural element is so important to look at, and tools that like you guys have released make that even easier to determine now. And I think that the cultural fit is essential, because again, the school can look perfect, but not be. It's kind of like dating, right? The person that you want to date on paper, on the app can look great, but then you guys meet up in person and it just doesn't click, right? It just doesn't quite fit. So I think it's so important to consider the cultural aspect.
Thank you so much. What about other tools to pick up the right school? Like, except of going to visit the school, like maybe this is the best, but if you don't have the chance to do it, besides our culture of it, do you have another tools in mind?
I think not necessarily tools. I think like tools, you guys are really, that's a really awesome thing to offer because there's really nothing else like it. But I would say other things that you could do that are helpful would be to talk to students and alum, because they'll tell you a lot about the school, but come prepared with specific questions. You know, asking what the culture is like can be a great opener, but just that by itself, I don't think is going to be a great question. Ask about things that you care about. You know, what is diversity like on campus? How are veterans treated? You know, how are women included on campus? What about minorities? Or maybe, you know, is it a really collaborative culture? How do you feel like competition plays a role? Some people like competition, some people don't. So have specific questions about things that make a culture a good fit for you or that would make a culture a bad fit for you. I also think you can learn a lot by kind of reading between the lines when it comes to Instagram posts or TikTok videos for the schools that have it. You know, on the websites, most of the schools are going to say we're very collaborative, we're very diverse, and they are. But if you watch the TikTok videos, you can kind of get a feel for the vibe of the school, for what it's like. And kind of decide, does that feel like the kind of culture that is a good fit for me? How do they talk about collaboration? How do they show collaboration? And how does that feel to me? So I think that those can be great tools, because on a website, it's really hard to kind of, you know, it's black and white, it's very static. Whereas in video format, interviewing the students, showing off different aspects of the program, you can hear a lot more of the tone of how they talk about the school. So I think those are really great ways to talk about it, or those are really great ways to learn about it. And then of course, if you're working with a consultant, you know, they've worked with many, many students, both going through that process of discovery and then afterwards hearing, you know, what they liked about the school, what they maybe didn't like as much about the school, and can really help provide you with that expertise and context.
I was just about to ask that. So if people contact you, you at Aileen Wallace Consulting can advise them about this, right? About how if some school is the right or not.
Absolutely. During our initial process, we kind of break the process up into three phases: strategy, kind of the writing part, and then interviews. During the strategy part, one of our meetings is dedicated just to schools. So, you know, here's the schools that I think are a good fit for you based on a number of factors that we look at, you know, culture, we look at salary projections, you know, is that important to you? We look at things like majors, instruction style, location. If you're applying as a couple, that adds its own challenges. So that's definitely something that we devote a lot of time to. And I like to make my recommendations based on also their profile. You know, you might really, really want to go to school X, but we know that the average GMAT score is this, and it's going to be a reach. Do we want to go ahead and do that, even knowing that maybe the admissions chances are not super high? Or would we rather focus on schools that are a little bit more doable, potentially considering different factors in the profile, because the person's maybe a little bit more risk averse? So there's so many different factors that go into choosing a good school. And you know, no two people, even if they have the same profile, they might not have the same risk appetite, for example, or one might be, you know, a part of a couple and the other one might not be. So there's so many different factors that go into that. And it's really important if you are working with a consultant to have that meeting. And we do spend a lot of time to really kind of identify that ideal list for each person.
Okay. And are there many people who are too much focused on rankings and really have their goal to be in the top five ranking schools, something like this?
Yeah, I get it, right? I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I had kind of have mixed feelings about it. And I think, you know, when I started doing this, I was mostly working with millennials, right? And now mostly I'm working with Gen Z, and maybe very, very kind of transition, that transition between the millennials. And I think for when I started this, for applicants, really kind of the brand and the ranking was the number one thing. That's what they were looking for. I'm going to go to the best ranked school I get into. Even if I'm miserable, I don't care. And that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's the most important thing for you, that's great. It's like choosing a job, right? If I want to make as much money as possible, I don't care how many hours I work. I don't care if I'm miserable and I hate it. That's what I think about. Great. That's the right job for you. But what I've noticed over time is that applicants now are a lot more values driven and a lot more culture driven. So I'll have clients that say, I know it's Harvard, but I don't really think I want to have a learning experience that's just case study. I think I want something a little bit broader. So I know it's a great brand, but not for me. And I'm okay with that. So I think what I'm noticing is that a lot of people are choosing based on a mix of ranking and other values, because of course, you know, with the ranking comes a certain level of prestige, and it's hard to say that that doesn't open doors for you. Of course it does. And if you look at salary projections, a lot of times, you know, post MBA salaries are going to be higher at a top five or top 10 school than at a maybe top 30 or top 50 school. So there is that as well, but I do notice that a lot of people are choosing more kind of based on other factors and other values. And if that's what matters most to you, I do think that that is the right decision. If you do choose just based on ranking though, and that's not necessarily what your values are, I do see people being unhappy. But again, yeah. It's only 2 years. So they're like, well, it was a sacrifice. I didn't like it, but now I can say that I went to X school. And so,
Yeah, I get it. And what about in the past? Were the rankings more important for people in the past than now?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think rankings still continue to be important, right? I think that they still continue to drive interest in the school. And, you know, if a school goes from number 20 to number 3, are they going to get more applicants? Absolutely. So I don't think that rankings are less important than they were before, but I just see a mindset difference of I'm not going to apply just because of rankings. I'm going to look into other factors. Like, do they have a strong social impact focus? When they say they're, you know, committed to diversity, equity, inclusion, what does that mean? Is that genuine? Do I feel like that's aligned with my values as an applicant? And so I see a lot more people looking critically and saying, okay, you know, I do want to apply within the top 10, but I'm not just going to apply to the first 5 on the list. Maybe I'll apply to 2, 3, 4, and 7 or something like that, because those are the schools that are ranked well, that align with my values. So I see a lot more people kind of combining a list of factors and maybe making a more values-based choice within a top kind of top 10, top 20 list of schools. But of course, I think rankings continue to drive interest in the schools.
Okay. And besides the rankings, what are the other important criteria for people?
I think a big one is salary growth, which I totally understand. An MBA is a big investment and it's there to maximize your career, right? Yeah, no one's going to an MBA to be a professor. I mean, I think that's really important. You know, if school X, the average post MBA salary is, you know, $170,000 and at school B it's $120,000. You know, if I'm going to spend almost the same amount to go to both schools, I'd rather get a better return on my investment. Also, I think length is really, really important. And we're seeing a lot of people opt more for shorter programs. Of course, that's not across the board, but there's more interest in a one-year program than I would say there was 10 years ago. I think just, you know, the world in general moves a lot faster than it did. A lot of industries are changing so quickly. Startups, you know, people who want to be entrepreneurs are looking at MBAs in really large numbers. And so a one-year program makes a lot of sense. And I think location as well. A lot of people look at MBAs to relocate. And so there are definitely, you know, people who say, I really want to, you know, relocate to the US, or I have dual citizenship, so I want to try a European school. So I think location is also a big factor as well.
Do many people from the USA try for an MBA in Europe?
Not many, to be honest.
Must go to the US schools.
Yeah, it happens, but it's usually kind of there's an interesting kind of personal factor, like, oh, my partner is European, or I have an interesting opportunity there. But outside of the US, in Latin America, we work with a lot of clients in Latin America. We work with a lot of clients in sub-Saharan Africa, in the Middle East region. There's still a lot of interest in Europe. And so that does drive, I think, a lot of interest towards those programs, as well as, the majority of the shorter programs are in Europe. There are a few well-ranked one-year programs in the US, but the majority of those really well-ranked one-year programs are going to be in Europe. So if that's a key factor, that can move people in that direction as well.
Okay. Thank you so much for all the great tips you gave us. Do you have something to add?
Yeah, I think the one thing I would say is that when you're choosing your schools list, it's really important, I think, to mix self-awareness and ambition. I think if you have a really low GMAT score and there's no mitigating factors, you're not planning to take it again, the very, very, very competitive schools may be out of reach for you. If the average GMAT is, and it's changing right now, but let's use the old system at the moment. We still don't have a lot of data on GMAT focus averages and things like that. But if the average score was a 730 or 735 and you've got a 610, it's not very likely that that's going to work out, right? So you could try it knowing that, it's kind of a long shot. I'm going to give it a shot. Who knows? Sometimes these things happen, but I wouldn't apply for only schools in that list because more likely than not, you're going to be disappointed. So I think it requires a lot of self-awareness to understand the strengths and weaknesses of your profile. That doesn't mean that you should apply for potentially lower ranked schools or less competitive schools, but you have to recognize that you have to improve those things. And if you're not willing to improve those things, I think it's important to have a really honest conversation with yourself about what that means for your application. Because I do see cases where I think people maybe don't have as much self-awareness. They think they can apply with whatever score and it's going to all work out for them. And I really admire the confidence. but a lot of times that can lead to disappointment. So I think it's good to be ambitious. It's good to go for what you want, but recognize that it's a very competitive system. The schools do look holistically, but there are averages kind of, for a reason. And so it's really important to balance those factors. And I think that's also where having help can be really important, to have somebody who's on your side, who's rooting for you, who wants your best result, and who wants, the best for your future, but who can also give you the facts and say, okay, if that's what you want to do, here's what I think is going to happen. It's your final choice to make. So I think that's a really important thing to have during the process.
Thank you so much, Eileen. I really enjoyed the podcast, and I really like to have you as a guest in our podcast. And thank you, everyone who listens. I'm posting now the link to Eileen's consultancy and also to Unimize Culture of Fit 2. And feel free to contact us if you have any questions. Wish you good luck in your MBA journey and have a nice day.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.